Not many clouds around, but it has found one. A message from Jill. I've been listening and enjoying your commentary since the beginning of the tournament, but...
Uh-oh.
I'm very annoyed that you relentlessly refer to forehands as off forehands. There is no such term. I've been playing and teaching tennis for over 55 years, so my opinion is based on experience. Also, I'm watching the matches and play them back when you call a forehand as off. There's nothing off about it. Thank you for considering to find a more accurate term. I don't know where the term off forehand... I'm wondering if it's cricket,
well,
or the offside.
We had the very same question last night, what is an off forehand? And I said, yeah, well, if you go to cricket, you have, you mid-off, you drive the ball through mid-off, that sort of thing. But, what was the name of the...
Joan.
What would Joan like us to call it instead?
Inside out, inside forehand, out, maybe?
Inside out, yeah, okay.
From the inside to out. She's not saying that, but it's possible.
Well, it's the same thing. There is an inside out forehand from Paolini. It's a winner.
There you go, Joan. Have you got a better term for it, we can start using it.
Yeah, but just don't confuse us.
Don't come up with something weird.
Love 15.
Like wang forehand on me.
Oh dear. Or it's 15 love.
I wonder if it is from cricket though, because it does. You know, when if you're a cricketer, if you think of when you're standing sideways on, if you're a right hander, anything to your right is the offside.
Yeah.
Anything to your left is leg side.
Yeah. Or the onside. So.
Or the onside. Yeah. Off and on.
Yeah. Paolini, love one, 15 love, high kicking serve, and now. Slice, extravagant slice on the forehand from Andreeva, and perhaps partly because of that, Paolini is just a little confused, caught in two minds perhaps, and she nets.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, again, it's the first semi-final for both, and she's thinking, I'm a set-up, I'm quite close here.
Oh, don't think like that, Jasmine.
Exactly.
Stay in the present.
It's so difficult, though.
Put that little hoop around you, and then when the point's finished, jump out of it, and then jump back into it. It's one of the tricks they try. Backhand now to the forehand of Paolini. She mistimes that altogether, didn't really move her feet. Paolini knows, as Simon mentioned, that she is going to climb into the world's top 10, irrespective of what happens today. If she loses today, she will be at 10. If she makes the final, she climbs to 7. If she wins the final, she'll be 5 in the world.
Joan's got a fan in Max. He doesn't like off forehand either.
Max Wadsworth, our statistician, the Earl of Barnes, as he likes to call himself. If he doesn't like it, we'll use it more. Shortish ball for Paolini to try and attack on her backhand side. She does just that. She's going to take another ball out of the air, and she's so, so good at doing that.
Definitely likes going cross-court with that drive volley. Yeah, Andreeva, you might be starting to spot that. But it was good aggression in that point. And Andreeva on the back foot quite a lot. Lizzie asks, can the receiver get a time violation if they're holding up the server too long? It's a good question. They can certainly get told to hurry up. I don't know if they can actually get warned.
Well, that was a little bit the incident last night, of course, with Zverev getting very frustrated as the backhand from Mira Andreeva goes into the net, gives him more signs of frustration. Zverev got a time violation at one point in, was it the second set, I think? And then he became embroiled in quite a lengthy conversation with the umpire because he felt that Diminor was not playing to his speed when he was serving.
Yeah, which is the general rule that you've got to play to the server's speed.
It turns long from Andreeva. It's another hole for Jasmine Paolini. It's one apiece in the second set. So, yeah, I guess if, as the returner, you are deliberately turning your back and taking too long, eventually the umpire's patience will snap.
Yeah, they can definitely warn them. I think they can definitely say, look, you need to speed up. I just don't know if they're going to actually get a code violation for it. It's a good question. Might have to check the rules later.
And the other thing, I don't know if it was with you, I was discussing this yesterday, Simon, but I wish they'd bring in a certain length of time, yeah, for the second service. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think they will. It's something they have tried in the UTS competition, the Patrick Mouratoglou event, where it's an exhibition, but they have very short time between serves, and now they have even less between second serves. I think it's got to be done. I mean, I was talking to a coach the other day who's saying that sometimes, because he's tracking matches on the screen, and you can just stop it, and you can go from point to point, and sometimes you can see it's 20 seconds sometimes.
Yeah. They need to deal with that. We know we've got to speed things up, make sure this wonderful sport remains relevant with a new, younger generation who perhaps lack the patience of the past. His first serve from Andreeva, who's lost the first point of this third game. Backhand reply now from Paolini, mid-court ball. It's hammered inside out. I'm very wary now not to say the off forehand again, which could lead to further pregnant pauses. Mid-court ball once again. Double hander from Paolini. She was going back across to the backhand wing of Andreeva, and it leads to another error and potential disaster in a sporting context for Andreeva if she was to go a breakdown early in this second set. Having lost the first by 6-3, it will start to be a long way back, a lengthy haul up the face of the mountain.
She's taking a little bit of extra time, which is sensible.
And looking to serve out wide to the right-hander's forehand, but you heard the call. It was into the tram lines. And the second serve is into the net. That is the first double fault of the contest. And it comes at a most inopportune moment for the 17-year-old because now she faces three break points.
She just took a ball from the ball boy and just walloped it into the net instead. You've got to be careful with smacking the ball around. Oh. She, Andreeva's come close before.
Yeah.
Smacking the ball into the stands.
Yes. You have to be so aware of that. Because, of course, if in a moment of anger you flick a ball away and it hits somebody, you're out. Oh, she was nearly out of this game. That second serve must have been right on the line. The return is long. So Andreeva is clinging on by her fingertips in this particular game.
Julia says you can definitely get a time violation while returning, but your behaviour has to be pretty egregious to get it. I was at Siegerman v. Goff at the US Open last year, and Siegerman was stalling on return a lot. She eventually did get a time violation, leading to many cheers. Well, I bet it did. That's good to know.
Oh, I think I might sneeze in a moment. Andreeva with a drop shot. Paolini's going to get there. Andreeva reads it and angles a beautiful, cute little backhand volley into the open court to win a point after a nice little exchange at the net.
She's wiping her nose as well, Andreeva. But that was a really nice hand. She's got good volleys, good sort of feel at the net as Andreeva just played the backhand volley right across Paolini, who I don't think expected it to be quite that good. She's living dangerously. That's a really great second serve and a stunning volley to save these set break points.
Yeah, still another one to deal with. That first serve is long by quite a distance, so Paolini, well, she starts to come forward for her return position and then backs off again and gets into a position to play an inside-out forehand, which leads to a really poor +1 error into the net. Andreeva is broken. She looked up at her box. She puts a hand up onto her head. That was a nothing shot, but could have very significant consequences.
Just banged her racket down by her bench as well. It was actually sort of, I think sometimes when you, clearly she's probably a bit nervous and a bit tight because that return, she had time to run around it and hit a forehand, but she sort of waited for it and then the ball took a little bit of an odd bounce and she missed the backhand. And that's a sort of sign that you're not moving and thinking as well as you might be.
Well, Alison Hughes is going to be angry because she's had to come down off her chair again, this time not because of Jasmine Paolini's curiosity over a line call, but I think something has gone wrong with the camera.
Oh, no.
Andy Murray won't be surprised about that. So a gentleman appeared from nowhere and started fiddling around with wires on the Alison's back, and she's not looking entirely comfortable.
Well, I was going to say those chairs, they're very well built and everything, but they're quite sort of precarious.
Yeah,
quite high up.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked this to, I think, most people. Have you ever seen an umpire fall out of the chair, primarily when they're coming down to have a look at a mark?
I've seen them slip on the stairs going up it.
Right.
I mean, it's obviously hilarious, but it could be quite painful.
It could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I know it's very childish of me, but I always kind of hope I'm going to see it happen.
Well, if they keep getting her down to have a look at marks, that'll increase the chances.
Yeah. So it's Paolini with the break, setting the break up. She's in a dream world, but she has to stay in the present, and she mishits that forehand that balloons out of the court.
Fischel says, I think there's a difference between inside-out forehand and offside forehand. Inside-out forehand was kind of introduced by Steffi Graf. Well, I think before that, for her, Fischel, there were plenty of people who played a sort of cut forehand, almost with slice.
Well, we had a succession of forehands, however you'd like to describe them, at the start of this rally. It ends, though, with the backhand down the line going wide off Andreeva's racket.
Yeah, still missing too much. maybe going for the big shot too soon.
Whatever happens, Andreeva will climb to 23 in the world. If she does lose today, she'll be up to 16. She makes the final and finishes as a runner-up. She puts that forehand return into the net, and should she get to the final and beat Iga Świątek, she would be 14 in the world. And remember that this time last year, she had to get in as a qualifier, made it through to the third round.
Feels like she's boiling up a little bit. She's got to be careful, try and stay calm.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
She's only 17.
I know. No one's going to blame her. But, no. But if she's to have a chance, she's got to keep her head here, because she'll know then that the Paolini is bound to get nervous as she gets close to a maiden Grand Slam final. She may be 28, but this is uncharted territory for her as well. Backhand to backhand, good striking from both players. And now forehand to forehand, shorter ball. Paolini goes deep, slice on the forehand from Andreeva. A lot of slice on the backhand from Paolini, having to stretch across now on her backhand side. That's better from Andreeva. She forces the error, showed more patience, and got the just reward.
She's really trying to keep herself calm, but that was exactly that. It was really well played, especially the short slice. It wasn't a drop shot, but it was just a slice that made Paolini stop what she was doing, slice the ball, and then Andreeva was able to attack down the line. So, yeah, she's thinking smartly, which is a good sign. Neil Skupski out there watching.
Neil, who was runner-up in the mixed doubles earlier today, with Desiree Krabcheck, which was good news obviously for the French. Well done to Edouard Rojavasna at the age of 40.
Yeah.
Grand Slam champion. Miss hit return long from Andreeva. With, is it Laura Sigmund?
Laura Sigmund,
we just mentioned.
Yeah. You played really well. Probably the best player on the court.
I saw Skupski and Krabcheck save a match point.
Yep.
Deep in the second set. I was doing a bit of work, research of course, Simon. Looked up about 3 minutes later and the presentation had already started, so those last two games must have been fairly quick.
Well, they were quick, but it's just the nature of mixed doubles, isn't it, with sudden death juice and stuff. It goes quickly.
And I hasten to add, I was listening to a lot of your commentary, but because it's a little bit out of sync, I eventually had to turn you down.
Yeah,
very personal.
It's understandable.
It's another hole for Paolini, another very unconvincing rally from Andreeva's point of view, which ended with a nothing sort of backhand that just drifted into the sidelines. So, just past the hour mark, it's an hour and a minute to be precise since they started this second semi-final, and it's all Paolini at the moment. She won the first set 6-3, and here's a disconsolate 17-year-old about to serve at 1-3 in the second.
Yeah, simply, she just needs to stop the errors. It's not as easy as that, though, unfortunately.
There is still time. Backhand reply from Paolini onto the forehand. Oh, she's trying to go down the line, but it's another error, unfortunately, off the forehand wing to add to this unhealthy total. She's now up to 24 unforced errors.
Yeah, it's too many. That's six games worth.
Yeah, just the 9 for Paolini, and yet just one winner more than her Italian opponent. That first serve is long, so nothing really is working.
When you mentioned the unforced error stat and stuff, but there is definitely a school of thought that it should be got rid of, but it's an indication that she's making errors that she shouldn't.
Yes. Well, she's played a lovely little drop shot that Paolini's read, but no panic there from Andreeva. She held her ground as Paolini drop-shotted the drop shot. Andreeva just played a neat little volley into the open court. Not the first time she's done that.
No, and a little close-up of Conchita Martinez in the stands. It must be great having a coach like her, like Juan Carlos Ferrero, someone who looks just so calm when they're watching. They know what you're capable of. It's just a case of doing it. They're not getting too anxious or angry or anything like that. They're not going to be frustrated or annoyed if you lose. They just want you to do your best.
Well, if Andreeva wins now, she'll become only the second woman in the Open era to win a Roland Garros quarterfinal and semi-final from a set down. Only the second. Tell you who the other one was in just a moment. Short ball for Paolini, and she hammers it away. It's never easy for her, because even a ball that's not rising too far off the ground presents a bit of a challenge for her, but she got up really well and she hammered the ball.
Yeah, she leapt up in the air to hit that. Good technique. I think often, this is a very big generalisation, but players who are on the shorter side have to have absolutely sound technique, because otherwise they're just going to get overpowered.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's definitely caught the line, and oh dear, then Andreeva comes in and she had plenty of time really to play a plus one down the line, but she overhit it, it's gone long, it's another error, it's more break points for Paolini, and this for a double break, and surely for a place in the Roland Garros final.
Yeah, she got the ball she wanted off a good serve, and it's that kind of miss that she's been making too often.
The only woman in the Open era to come from a set down in the quarters and semis of Roland Garros is Maria Sharapova. That was in 2014. So, one Russian has done it. Can another? I don't think so at the moment, but I'm prepared to be corrected. But, dear oh dear, another messy rally, I would have to say, ends with a backhand sailing long off the Andreeva racket, and as the sun comes out, so Paolini sits down 4-1 up and serving.
I think, not surprising, the Andreeva is fighting her emotions. It doesn't look like tears are too far away, but she's, you know, it's a first semi-final. She was only 17 less than 2 months ago. It's a lot to deal with, the emotions in a match like this. What she's got to do now is focus and remind herself that Paolini's not been here either, and that she also could get tight. That's her best bet right now.
And it's worth stressing as well, I have mentioned this fact, but only two Italian women have reached the Roland Garros final. That's not just in the Open era, by the way. That is all time. Schiavone on two occasions, 2010 when she was the champion, and 2011, and Sara Errani, who was the runner-up in 2012. So this is huge for Italian tennis. I mean, they've got the real possibility now of having direct representation in both the men's and the women's singles final.
Yeah, it's an amazing turn of events for Italian tennis. I think it was about 6-7 years ago they decided, the Italian Federation decided, that they really needed to invest in tennis. So they started to build more and more of the sort of futures tournaments and challenger events, and became sort of grew the sport from below to try and get as many top players as they could. It's working.
Yeah, and I have to say it's great for the sport, because if you're ever lucky enough to go to the Foro Italico, the support that the crowd generates there is fantastic. Support here for Andreeva, because she's clubbed a forehand winner down the line to take the first point of the sixth game of this second set on the Paolini serve. Just a little bit of hope for her. Couple more stats that signify the importance of winning the first set, by the way. Świątek's win means that 16 of the last 17 Roland Garros women's singles semi-finals have been won by the player who wins the opening set. And I heard another extraordinary statistic relating to Świątek during that first semi-final, as Andreeva goes across court but misses and then looks down, stands stock still. I believe that having, I think that Świątek is something like 72-1, having won the first set. And I heard either Eleanor.
In the Grand Slams?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, and if Max is listening, he's our stats guy, who the one player was that was able to come back against her. But, I mean, that is terrifying as well. Yeah. Forehand into the net from Paolini. Talk about being a good front runner. I mean, she's just an unstoppable front runner.
Yeah, I mean, she is a real, incredibly good front runner, because she sort of bullies her opponents off the court, just blasts them away. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm trying to think off the top of my head when she... Oh, she lose to Elise Cornet at Wimbledon in three sets, having won the first, maybe?
Possibly. That's an ace from Paolini.
Can I look that up?
It's her first ace of the contest, and it takes her to 30-all. I don't think it was Cornet, but
maybe not.
Oh, I'm getting old. It was only an hour and a half or so ago that I was listening.
That was straight sets, actually, that one.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Cornet. Off backhand return. Now the forehand to the backhand side of Paolini. She's there again. Not having to move too much. Both players being relatively cautious in this particular rally. Who's going to make the first move? Pallini just angles the ball further across towards the backhand, but she strays long and, okay, what's to be done? But here, little opportunity for Andreeva. It's another chance to get a break. It's had plenty of them and failed dismally thus far.
Standing right up against the back fence just while adjusting her strings, talking to or listening to Conchita Martinez. Sensible.
Pallini's service to the backhand, cross-court return with real power on the backhand from Pallini, who now plays the drop shot. Andreeva gets to it, but Pallini's there to cover it and put the forehand volley into the open court. She's doing everything right.
Yeah, she is. That was a very good choice of drop shot, and even though Andreeva got there, she knew she would be able to cut off the volley. That's the thing about the drop shot. You don't have to win it on the drop shot. You just have to set the point up for the way you want it to be played.
Andreeva is now 0 for 6 on break points.
Yeah, tells a story, doesn't it?
4-1 juice, and that return, well, it was awkward, but the ball's in play, so they'll continue. Paolini's there. She's guiding a ball onto the backhand wing of Andreeva, who gets a shorter angle to the Paolini backhand, and Andreeva goes down the line. Paolini covers that, cross-court onto the forehand, and the slice on that wing from Andreeva's into the net, and she's berating herself again.
Yeah, that was a bad choice of shot. She was trying a drop shot from on the slide in the forehand corner. Very unlikely to make it.
Ah, I've got clarification of that stat. Mm-hmm. This is a record on clay, not at slams. On clay, okay. She is 73-1.
Wow.
When winning the first set. The one defeat.
Oh.
Come to in a moment.
Lizzie's guessed at it.
Let's see if in a moment Lizzie's got it right. Forehand from lofted forehand is long. Oh dear, oh dear. That wing, that forehand wing has really let Mira Andreeva down today. And it's another game to Paolini. And she only needs one more to book her place in Saturday's showpiece.
Lizzie's guessing it. Karolina Muchová.
Lizzie, you're a genius.
Yay.
It was Karolina Muchová in Prague in 2019. Thanks to the Earl of Barnes, Max Wadsworth, our statistician. I slightly misled you by saying it was on all surfaces. That's the record on clay. 73-1 when Świątek wins the first set. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's totally dominant. Whoever gets through tonight, today is going to have a tough job, to say the least.
Do you think they, you know, if they lose the first set, they just go and shake hands? Well, here's Andreeva serving to stay in the match. 1-5. Second serve. Backhand is flat on the return from Paolini, who, okay, we were thinking from Andreeva's point of view that she would hope Paolini might just stutter as she gets near to the winning line, but there's no sign of that at the moment. She's making room for herself with the inside in forehand and then watches as Andreeva goes long again. Paolini going about her business, looking efficient, cool, totally in control of the situation. You wouldn't guess that she was now just 3 points away from booking her place in the final of the French Open.
Yeah, she's just been too consistent, too sensible, too smart, hitting the ball great. She's taken her chances, whereas Andreeva has not. She's taken 6-6 break points. That tells you everything.
Well, the sun's come out again, but it's not really shining on Andreeva at the moment, who comes in and is passed. Bullet-like backhand from Paolini.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest approach. Bit more of a bluff than anything else.
Yeah, she's gone, I'm afraid.
Standing
at the back of the court now, facing away from Paolini, having a look at the ball, wishing that she could start this day again.
Oh, she's played an opponent who's been too solid for her.
The good news for her is that she's only 17 years of age. She should have plenty more opportunities like this.
Definitely.
Second service to the forehand. It was a shortish serve as well. Paolini happy just to get the point started again. Going cross court with a fizzing forehand. Now she's got a shorter ball. She's gone down the line. It's a clean winner. And it brings up match points.
Too good. Too good. Beautiful forehand, good movement to get there. Could have been awkward, it was low down. But just like she's been really all the way through the match, too consistent, too solid, too calm.
Three match points on the Andreeva serve. The first of them is to the forehand of Paolini. Backhand with a short angle from Andreeva. She winds up a big forehand. Paolini's there to cover that cross court. Another deep forehand from Andreeva. Now slicing, shortish ball. This could be it for Paolini. This is it for Jasmine Paolini. The pocket rocket powers through to her first Grand Slam final at the age of 28. It wasn't to be for the talented teenager. She's done brilliantly to get this far, but she couldn't find her A game today. And Italy's golden fortnight at Roland Garros keeps getting better.
Oh, what a story. Jasmine Paolini, until this year, had never really thought about going deep in any Grand Slam. No one had talked about her, and here she is in a final and totally deserving.
Swift exit for Mira Andreeva. She will, of course, learn from this, but right now it'll feel so raw, so painful.
It's fine when the winner is sort of making her way to the net, grinning away towards her team, and they have to get rid of that smile to shake hands. It's a bit strange, and then back comes the smile. But yeah, she totally deserved it. It was too solid. I mean, you look at the stats, don't always tell the story, but 30 unforced errors just means that she was giving too many easy points away, and can't do that in a semi-final especially.
Our mate Alex Kretsch is on court, ready to talk to a beaming Jasmine.
Jasmine, complimenti, congratulations, first time Roland Garros final. This is a huge moment in your career. You deserved. You worked so hard. Here you are. Everybody loves it. And I don't know if you are more relieved or more happy.
I'm more happy for sure. Yeah, it was a... Thank you. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. It was a tough match. She's playing unbelievable. She's 70 years old. She's so complete, so I was a little bit nervous before the match. I lost against her 1 month ago, so I was like, come on, you have to do better. And yeah, today I was nervous in the first set, but then ball after ball I was, you know, getting relaxed. And I know it's tough to be relaxed in this stage, but yeah, I'm really happy that I managed to, you know, to win the match at the end.
You said that you lost to her in Madrid, different conditions. Did you check that match with Renzo and your team to see what you can do better? Because today it seems like the tactics were great. Play maybe a little bit more slow, then change the pace, and especially your forehand was unbelievable.
We didn't watch the match, but I had in my mind, and I think also Renzo, because, yeah, it was painful in Madrid, you know. I was up in the first set 5-2, and then I lost. So, yeah, I was like to just step on court and try to do better. You know her a little bit better. So, yeah, just, you know, hit the ball, enjoy, and, yeah, it worked. So I'm really happy, yeah.
And... How important is to dream big in order to achieve huge things in life?
I think a lot. I learned, I think, a little bit later than other players maybe. But yeah, to dream, it's, I think, the most important thing in sport and in life. So yeah, I'm happy that I could dream this moment. And yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm so emotional.
Very good. You know what? You are so emotional. I'm not going to talk about the finals because this is your moment. You need to enjoy. You're still in semifinals also in doubles. Vuoi dire qualche cosa a tutti le tifosi italiano che ti guardano la televisione o quale stadio?
Grazie mille, ragazzi. È stato veramente un piacere. Grazie a quelli che mi seguono da casa e merci beaucoup a tutta la Francia, a tutta la France.
Bravo. We see you on Saturday. Congratulations. Jasmine Paolini qualifiée pour la finale de Roland Garros. Complimenti. Bravo.
She's got a winning smile and she had a winning game today, as she quite rightly mentioned. It was only a few weeks ago that she lost to the same player on clay in Madrid. But, you know, she was saying there, of course I was nervous to begin with, but the more I got into it, you could sense the accomplished performance on that forehand wing in particular, as Alex Kuretcha said. It was never really in any doubt, Simon, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I think we were talking early on about the game style that she has means that she hits with a lot of margin, so she can sort of feel her way into a match. It's not like she's trying to bash flat winners and then they just go wide or long. She was able to work her way into the match, get through those nerves, and then really just be too patient for Andreeva, who definitely didn't play her best, but there were lots of rallies where there were lots of well-struck shots from Andreeva, and then she would lose the point. So a lot to learn for her on her first semi-final, but a great win for Paolini. And I think, you know, it just shows you what you can do if you keep trying. As she said, you've got a dream, because otherwise what's the point?
Yeah, so she becomes only the third Italian woman to make it through to the final at Roland Garros ever. She is the second shortest woman ever to make a Grand Slam final, along with Roberto Vinci. The shortest, I don't particularly like to dwell on these things, but it's an interesting fact, and good luck to them all. Dominika Sibulkova, 5'3". Both Vinci and Jasmine are 5'4". She's played Świątek on two previous occasions. Probably won't surprise anybody to hear that she lost both those matches. What will she attempt to do to make a match of it on Saturday, do you think?
Well, the only thing she can really do is attempt to make as many balls as possible, run down everything that Iga throws at her. We know how dominant Świątek is, how she stands on the baseline, inside the baseline. She dominates the real estate, as they like to say, but she's just going to have to be consistent, not go for too much too soon, and hope that Świątek is a little bit off her game. I think that's really her best bet.
Well, we'll see exactly what unfolds on Saturday afternoon. Before that, tomorrow, of course, we've got the men's singles starting at 2:15, ball-by-ball commentary of both of those, hopefully without any other stumbled words. It's Jannik Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. Oh, what a match that's going to be, followed of course by Sasha Zverev against Casper Ruud. And before that, we've got our team dinner tonight.
Thank you for all your messages of people saying enjoy your team dinner.
Oh, well, that's
you've
very
earned
kind.
It. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate all the tweets, all the emails. Keep them coming at radio_RG, at radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. I suspect there may be a picture or two, the ones we can publish tomorrow morning. And if we get Chris Bowers eating that stale bread, that'll be the main one. But thanks to Simon Cambers, I'm Marcus Buckland. We will be back, Stefan confirms to me, at 2:15 tomorrow afternoon, ahead of the first of the men's singles semi-finals. But until then, from me, Marcus Buckland, goodbye.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal. See the office in play.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
And I'm happy to say they are. I can see the mixed doubles finalists in the tunnel waiting to be brought out onto Philippe Chatrier. It is day 12. It is Thursday. I keep thinking it's Friday, but it's Thursday. It's women's semi-finals day. But we start with our first final of 2024 here at Roland Garros. The sun is shining. The roof is open. The crowds are in. The introductions are going to be made. Really, really looking forward to getting this day off to a great start with this final. The crowd are being warmed up by Marc Murray, and very shortly the players will make their way up the tunnel. So from 3 o'clock we've got Coco Gauff against Iga Świątek, and that is followed by this surprising semi-final of Jasmine Paolini against Mira Ondrejva. Tomorrow you've got the men's semis. We believe it's Jannik Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz in the day from 2:30. We'll cover all the action on Philippe Chatrier for you. But the music is telling us that very shortly the players will be given the little sign, and then they can pick up their bags and they can make their way up the stairs. We have two sets of seeds taking on each other in this final of the mixed doubles. You can hear a ball being bounced as the LED screens around Philippe Chatrier let the players know, and they're being summoned now. Stop shaking hands with people. It's time to play tennis. So they will get themselves set up. That's just a little speaking you can hear there of, you've got to go first. No, you're first. Who's going first? No one knows who's going first. I'm assuming it's going to be Sigmund and Roger Vasselin, because they are the lower ranked of the two as the eighth seeds. So I'm assuming that they will be first on court. Or it might not be. It might be the fourth seeds.
Du tournoi double mixte.
Here we go.
Roland Garros 2024.
It's going to be Dzerry Kravchuk and Neil Skupski, the first two out. They are the fourth seeds. Oh, Sigmund and Edouard Rojavasa, the second seeds, I see. Here we go. Right, to the introductions. The American-British combination.
La première équipe à entrer a déjà emporté deux titres en grand chelem en double mixte. L'américaine Dzerry Kravchuk, associée au britannique Neil Skupski.
There we go. Kravchuk and Skupski, smiles on the faces, walk out into the brilliant sunshine on Philippe Chatrier. It's a wonderful crowd. They just sort of let everyone in just to get a really good crowd. Everyone's piling in. The seats, the boxes at the front are full. No one's thinking about lunch. Everyone's in the stadium. And I do apologise to Sigmund and Roger Vasselin for demoting them 6 places in the seedings. They are the second seeds. They played 2 matches yesterday. They're fired up. They're ready to go. Are they rested? We will find out. Here is their introduction.
Et ils sont opposés à l'une des têtes de série de ce tournoi double mixte, l'Allemande Laura Sigmund et le Français Edouard Roger Vasselin.
Oh, there's the cheer for the Frenchman, very popular man, waving to the crowd. We've got both sets of players. We have Stefan on the controls. It didn't play the night session jingle this morning because he went early yesterday. The night sessions are over, and I'm very happy to say myself, she's here alongside Simon and Courtney. Gentlemen, how are you this Thursday afternoon?
Good morning, afternoon, whatever it is. My watch has stopped again. It's excellent.
But, yeah, like your car, good. Isn't it? How is the car, by the way?
The car's not in good shape. It's being shipped back to the UK. But shipped? Well, hopefully.
It'll
take a while. Needs some work. We have to get it assessed in the UK instead.
Oh, crikey.
It's too expensive to fix here.
How's the watch? Is that going to be okay?
The watch will just start again when it feels like it. It's got a mind of its own. But I'm looking forward to this because this is it's going to be good.
My understanding is that they're possibly going to push the car off the boat halfway across.
I think it sounds sensible, if I'm honest. I think you should just say, you can keep it. But this, Courtney, it's our first final of Roland Garros 2024.
It's almost as though the skies were crying in the first week with the potential departure of Rafael Nadal, maybe Andy Murray, Elise Cornet, Jeremy Shardy.
The list just goes on.
a lot of players perhaps leaving. But now that we're at the finals, the sunshine is out and it's a celebration of all good things tennis.
Right, the housekeeping.
Player.
There it goes.
It's player. Serve.
That was Neil Skupski saying, we will serve. Sigmund and Roger Vasselin are debating where the sun is. Oh, we're going to change.
Have a good match picture, please.
They are going to change, but they've got to have a photo before they change. We have our team dinner this evening, been working out the seating plan, which is very exciting. Marcus might have a surprise for someone at the dinner. All I'm going to say, because I think I should just help you out here, is before you take any, just look at the bread you're taking from the bread basket, and I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to put it out there and leave it there.
Is it bring your own night?
It might be. Bring your own very old stuff night. Now, in terms of what we have here, we have, Simon, four very, very experienced players.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Eduard Roger-Vasselin, 40 years old, and is doing very well to have played twice yesterday. And, you know, I know he's a professional sportsman, but it's rough. It's rough having to do that. And Laura Siegmund's been around a long time, loves a drop shot. Can't really do that in mix too often. And then you've got Desiree Kravchuk, who I think that you could make a case for her being the best doubles player in the world. Her and Su Weishe. I mean, she is constantly in these finals, mixed especially. She's almost like a mixed doubles expert. And Neil Skupski, and the two of them make a great pair. Skupski, plenty of experience in these Grand Slam finals as well, and got their revenge yesterday in the semis against Su Weishe and Jan Zielinski. And I think they're the favourites today.
You think they're the favourites?
I would make the favourite.
Courtney?
It's amazing. Desiree, you know, Kravchuk, the baby face at 30. Average age on court, 35. 140 years of experience between them, and 140 years of great tennis between them as well. I love these matches because you see all the craft, all the doubles craft that makes such superb tennis players. And I think we're in for a treat today. It's great to see the crowd filing in as I was weaving through the crowd on the way to get to here this morning. It was big queues out the front, and it's a really nice crowd in place for this mixed doubles final.
It's a really good idea to let everybody in, because, you know, too often we see with doubles finals the crowd a little bit sparse. People do come out, but they've got other things to do, and they're building to their bigger ticket later. But it's great, you know, you let ground passes in, and that's what really all of the slam should do, because they deserve it, these guys,
to see the lower bowl this full. Because sometimes in the corporate box, you understand they've got the corporate entertainment, and people are late, and some people get invited on a corporate ticket. They're not a massive tennis fan anywhere. They're just kind of mingling and meeting people. But in these seats, you've got the hardcore tennis fans that have probably largely ground passes for today, and they're on Philippe Chatrier.
And it's a wonderful experience, and it is truly a fabulous court. You pinch yourself when you get to watch some tennis here, and last night I was able to sit outside for quite a while, and just that atmosphere was outstanding again. And then here we are today. Yeah, not that long later, and it's a really good crowd in attendance.
Well, and when you're low down in the seats that all the fans have filed into, you get a really different look at what the match is like and how good these players are. So it's a great experience for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely packed. At @radio_RG, if you'd like to get in touch with us. I keep thinking it's Friday. It is Thursday afternoon. French Open Radio at fft.fr is the email address. We love hearing from you. Don't forget, we've got the women's semi-finals. Now, they start at 3 o'clock. Iga Świątek, Coco Gauff, followed by Jasmine Paolini and Mira Andreeva. The sun is shining, the weather is set, the players are out, and we're going to get started with this first final of 2024. So I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Stefan Simon, who's desperately trying to get his watch going, and Courtney.
You know, thank you very much, Gigi. It's in theory, a solar-powered watch. So I'm going to stick it
in
the window.
So it's useless in the first place, isn't it?
Absolutely useless. That's probably why it conked out.
It's a brave watch to have living in the UK.
I know. It broke down in Australia, of all places.
Did it?
Yeah. But it's just
a theme.
It starts up on its own sometimes.
It's upside down in Australia, though. That's why.
That's right.
It's very confused. Do not work as expected.
Well, there are clocks if you need to know the time, but I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of Simon and Courtney as we build up to the start of this final.
Thanks, Gigi. We are ready to go almost. The players just completing their warm-ups. A few serves to go. Skupski and Kravchuk, left and right-handed combination. The two right-handers, Roger-Vasselin, the veteran of the group, at 40 years old. And a lot on the line here because, you know, mixed doubles, not everyone plays it, but it's actually a real art to it. And I think Kravchuk could be considered a mixed doubles specialist, the way her success has been over the years as she finishes her serving and runs to the chair to get ready. And we're looking forward to this because there's a lot at stake, obviously a Grand Slam title. both teams having to work hard on the way to the final, both winning champions tiebreaks. I should remind you that the mixed doubles is two sets, and then if they're level at a set all, it's a 10-point first to 10 tiebreak. So that's also why the fans love it, because they know it's not going to be a five-hour epic and they don't have to sit there all that time, which can be difficult. And they get the chance to play some great doubles.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the tactics that unfold in this match, Simon, whether we see both players charging the net, whether we see one at the baseline, what happens when they're returning. Is it the traditional pattern, or do we see some change-ups from the wily old campaigners?
Well, I can already see that Siegerman is standing a bit deep on the non-receiver's side. Now she's moved forward inside the box. It's Skupski to get us underway. Misses the first serve. Serving to Roger Vasselin. Serves. Good kick serve down the tee, and Roger Vasselin gets it. Skupski immediately tries to go down the line. Don't know why I called him Skupski. Although it is from Liverpool, so in Liverpool it probably is Neil Skupski. But it's just, we'll say Neil Skupski for the sake of this. First point goes to Siegerman and Roger Vasselin. Number two seeds. Dropped two sets on the way to the final. Three matches won in champions tiebreaks. Two matches won by Kravchuk and Skupski in the same way. Skupski misses the first serve. It's a lovely morning, lunchtime. Here at Roland Garros, watching Kravchuk just using the hand signals behind her back to tell Skupski where she's going to go off the serve and where to serve. Great return from Siegerman right at the feet of Skupski. Can't deal with it. It's love 30.
So in a little bit of trouble early on, the number four seeds who decided to serve after winning the toss or winning the... Is it the balls and racket? Is that what we do when they're tossing the coin here?
I think so, yeah. Ball and racket.
Ball and racket. And a couple of strong returns. Skupski trying to go with the drive forehand on the first one, just an error. So now love 30.
Big serve from Skupski. Returned well by Roger Vasselin. Goes cross-court with a forehand. Skupski trying to push Roger Vasselin back. The ball goes up high and Skupski waits for it. Goes down the line and Siegerman gets there quickly on the volley, but good recovery from Skupski. Now they're switch sides as they go cross-court to cross-court on the backhand. Up the line goes Skupski, but Siegerman is waiting for it. Puts the volley away.
Just a superb point there from Lara. She waited. She chose the right ball initially to cross with both players going up and down the line, the both men. Didn't quite put it away, but it actually set the point up in some regard. The exchange from then off forehand to backhand court to the backhand court before she, again, the drive down the line and a beautiful angled forehand volley. So three break points to start.
Already trouble for Skupski and Kravchuk on the Skupski serve. Kravchuk crouching low at the net, quite close to the centre line. Skupski actually serves around her, almost. Wasn't necessarily the plan. He missed it. Missed the first serves. Kravchuk just going through a few different signals, and when Skupski's ready and happy, he serves his second serve. Kick to the backhand of Siegerman, who can't control it, goes long.
Yeah, almost serving directly over the top of his partner. Now, she's not getting traditionally low in terms of... You quite often see, if you're playing that formation, which is almost not quite the tandem or the I... It's probably the I formation, as close to that as possible. And you see the player at the net on their knees or, bending down on their knees, sort of on their haunches, ready to spring into action. Kravchuk more, I suppose, bends over and keeps the legs straight so she's upright quicker. It's an interesting
move. Dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous, but I haven't quite seen that.
No, it's true. Usually they're much more crouched. Skupski misses the first serve again. Kravchuk dictating where to go, where to serve, what to do, where she's going to move. Serve is to the body of Roger Vasselin. Hits a good backhand return. Siegerman gets there on the volley, but doesn't put it away. And then this time, Kravchuk tries to poach and intercept, but she puts the volley in the net. And we've got an early break of serve for the number two seed, Siegerman and Roger Vasselin.
I'm not sure whether that was by design from Roger Vasselin, but it was a very crisply struck forehand. The angle was going to be quite sharp. Kravchuk, having committed, was then faced with an exceptionally tricky volley to try and poach, and not to be.
Yeah, that I formation, the way that Kravchuk crouches but doesn't really get down that low, for normal people, trying to make sure your serve doesn't hit her, wouldn't be that easy. There'd be quite a few smacks, I think.
You wouldn't want to drag it into the net too frequently. You'd be hoping that your partner, if they're going to miss, they're going to miss deep and long. And it's an interesting one because when you're serving in doubles, you do want to be finding those angles wide. And so quite often that does tend to lead to a miss into the net.
I mean, we've played a lot of doubles and mixed doubles in our lives at junior level and other levels. And I've been hit in the back by a full-blooded serve, which left a ball mark on my back. I've been hit most places, just not in the... I haven't been hit in the back of the head, thank God.
Oh, it's the one that hits the ear that's the most painful for mine.
Oh, yeah, that's very nasty. It's a good serve from Roger Vasselin, has returned over the baseline from the left-handed Kravchuk. Interesting that Kravchuk plays on the deuce court and Skupski on the backhand side. Skupski's backhand is better than his forehand, but also they've got the two forehands down the middle of the court, protecting what is traditionally the vulnerable section of the court for players. And you do see that quite a lot in doubles. It's about what's comfortable for you. As Roger Vasselin serves out wide. Backhand return from Skupski. And the volley from Sigerman is sharp at the net. Sigerman's made a very good start. Sigerman, the more accomplished of the four in singles. Really the only one these days that plays a lot of singles. Roger Vasselin used to. But Sigerman's been pretty highly ranked in singles. And these two are a scratch pairing. It's their first time they've teamed up together. Certainly done very well to get to the final as Roger Vasselin hammers down an ace. It's 40 love.
Yeah, at 36 years old, Sigerman, she's the number six ranked player in doubles as well. So she's, clearly very, very accomplished in all formats of the game. 14 doubles titles to her name, which is, superb. She's a winner at Grand Slam level in terms of doubles.
High formation from Roger Vasselin and Sigerman. Neither of them need to hit it because Skupski fires long, and a great start for the number two seed. They hold to love, and it's two games to love.
Having won that doubles title with Vera Zvonareva at the US Open in 2020, she won a mixed doubles as well with Pavic in 2016, also at the US Open. So you can see her nous because she's a very, very accomplished clay court player. But to be able to win titles on hard courts as well... just a good quality all-round performer. The type of player you'd love to have in terms of representative tennis, Billie Jean King Cup.
So Skupski at the net as Kravchuk serves, goes down the line with a forehand. Good retrieval by Roger Vasselin. Skupski gets there on the smash, doesn't put it away. He's got to reload on the forehand. Here he comes into a shorter ball. Sigerman, good reaction at the net, and Skupski goes long with a forehand.
So it's all one-way traffic so far here on court. Philippe Chatrier, Sigerman and Roger Vasselin are really playing well, and there's been a lot of misses from the number four seed so far at the other end, perhaps rushing things just a little bit on the big stadium court.
Yeah, mostly from Skupski so far. These two have played together quite a lot, and we've seen them around the Grand Slams. They, in terms of how they've played together... let's have a look. They have won Wimbledon, of course, in 2022, beating Sam Stosur and Matt Ebden in the final. And they've been in the final of the Australian Open. They lost to this year, actually. They lost to Shea Siwei and Jan Zielinski. So they got their revenge yesterday in that one. Now they're trying to see if they can get over the line here. They played against each other here in the Roland Garros final. Kravchuk... number eight in the doubles last year. She reached last year. She's won four Grand Slam mixed doubles titles. She, with Joe Salisbury, she won the US Open and Roland Garros in 2021 and won Wimbledon in 21 and 22 with Skupski. So very experienced. She serves at 15 all. I think Eleanor Preston was making the point yesterday that, she's a real mixed doubles specialist. As good as she is in women's doubles as well. She'll be in the women's doubles at the Olympics, but she won't be able to play mixed doubles because she's not in the singles. The only way you can play mixed at the Olympics is you have to be one of the singles players, which is a strange sort of thing, but you can understand it too, because otherwise you'd have an awful lot of people hanging around in the tournament. Oh, miss from Sigerman at the net on the volley, and it's 30-15.
Just got a little awkwardly positioned there. It was a powerful drive return from her partner, Roger Vasselin, which almost clipped the baseline, and Krajicek good enough to recover in terms of the ground stroke, but Sigemann had a chance there, didn't quite put that forehand volley away.
It's a bit rough, the Olympic thing, for Krajicek, because she would obviously have a pretty good chance, you would think.
Oh, I would think that you'd be lining up to partner her, given her record.
Yeah, some of the Americans would be some very good partnerships there. The Olympics at mixed doubles is always good because you do get some incredibly strong pairs with the best singles players in the world and some of the best doubles players too. So, 30-15 as Sigmund returns hard down the line. Good lob from Krawczyk is really smart, actually, and the volley when it comes to Skupski is easy for Skupski to put into the open court.
And so now a couple of game points to get on the board. We've had a couple of people writing in, which is wonderful, including our correspondent around the ground. So
yeah.
Marcus Buckland, we'll get to his notes very soon, but good to see him out working. I know that...
he's out watching a lot of juniors. He's been supporting them. It's really good. 40-15, Krawczyk serving, just goes long. Serving to the forehand of Roger Vasselin. Skupski, we can see his hand signals from here. Looks like he's staying after the serve. Didn't see where he was telling Krawczyk to serve. She goes down the middle of the block. Skupski does stand his ground and then tries to poach, but good play from Roger Vasselin, really sharp at the net. Goes down the line with a volley, and the backhand volley flies long from Skupski.
Good impressive intent on that occasion. Saw that there was a chance to sneak in behind that return. Skupski, you know, good hands, but not quite able to control it.
You see a lot of the players are so good these days at poaching at the net, picking off volleys. And volleying's changed. You know, when we were young, you used to be taught to move across to volley. But now it's very much on the angle, straight. You know, you get close to the net, you're cutting off the angle. It's a much easier volley, but it's something you have to learn. If you didn't grow up playing that way, still game point to Skupski and Krawczyk, and they get a little bit lucky. They've held serve, but Roger Vasselin should have put that backhand volley away. Ended up framing it long, and they're on the board, the number four seeds. But it's 2-1 to the number two seed. Is that the right way around?
Yeah, he's right.
Let's have a look. Number two seeds, yep. Sigemann and Roger Vasselin, 2-1.
So great to have some correspondence from both around the world, but also for on-site. We'll start with the on-site. Marcus Buckland, who will be on air a little later today for the women's semi-finals. The first final of Roland Garros 2024 is underway and features a super talented Brit, Skupski. Now, it's good that he's listening in. It's
yeah.
Great. We have Barb's Buckland writing to ask Marcus a question, but perhaps we can throw this to you, Simon. What are you making of Novak and his surgery? Some outlets are saying that he's on the decline now. I disagree, but then I'm a Nole fan, eager to hear your thoughts. I'll give mine as well after you've had a say there.
Yes, I was going to say that Novak actually gave an update on Instagram this morning. Just going to find it and read it out to you. He had his surgery yesterday morning, and... It's not very handy. You're asking me to log in. I will find it here instead.
I can.
Can read it. If you can read that.
Yes, I can read it. I'm sure I can. We're well put together here.
technically brilliant.
Novak today. In the past, I've had to make some tough decisions after sustaining the meniscus tear during my last match. I'm still processing it all, but I'm happy to update you that the surgery went well. I'll get back to this after this point here.
Keep reading. It's okay. Well, we'll keep you informed. It's Sigemann serving at 2-1. She serves out wide and misses. Djokovic had the surgery yesterday morning, just to update you on a meniscus tear in his right knee. Sigemann serves to the body of Krawczyk, who gets out of the way and hits a good backhand down the line, and the lob from Sigemann goes long.
I am so appreciative of the team doctors who have been by my side, as well as the overwhelming support I have received from my fans. I'm going to do my best to be healthy and fit to return to the court as soon as possible. My love for this sport is strong, and the desire to compete at the highest level is what keeps me going. Udamo.
So there's no time frame as to his recovery, but it does seem like, well, it looks like it's going to be at least 3 weeks. It looks like Wimbledon is very unlikely. You never know with Djokovic. He's a very fast healer, but he is 37. It maybe doesn't heal as quickly as he used to. And meniscus tears can be rough. So it's going to be hard for him to... I don't think he'll be at Wimbledon. It's really awkward to start back on the grass where your knees take a... You know, they twist a lot. So hopefully he'll be able to get back in time for the Olympics. I think that's his main aim.
Absolutely a big goal for him this year. It's probably the one thing that's missing from his...
It is.
From his trophy cabinet, the Olympic singles goal.